Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY23 earnings conference call of Panama Petrochem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mahesh Narvekar, Vice President, Corporate Relations. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Panama Petrochem Limited earnings conference call for quarter two ending 30th September 2022. I would like to begin by expressing my gratitude to all of you by taking your time to join us on this call. This conference call may contain some forward-looking statement about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not guarantee of future performance and involve risk and uncertainty that are difficult to predict. Now I would like to introduce Mr. Hussain Rayani, Joint Managing Director, Panama Petrochem, and Mr. Pramod Maheshwari, CFO, Panama Petrochem Limited. I request Mr. Hussain Rayani to share the quarter two performance overview of our company. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Mahesh. Good morning, everybody. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to the quarter ending September 2022 earnings conference call of Panama Petrochem Limited. Let me begin by giving an overview of the business environment. There is an element of uncertainty and recessionary concerns. We have observed a bit of instability and volatile pricing instances. The business mood is not very buoyant, and the global scenario remains a challenge in near future. However, we have achieved stable performance in this quarter two, with good demand seen in our value-added offerings, enabling us to record good operating margins, which was at 14.63% during this quarter. Crude prices, though volatile, has been in range and helped the company to strategize procurement. Thus, the company has been successful in maintaining the net realizations on higher side during the quarter. Going forward, the domestic demand has been quite encouraging, and company could capitalize due to its value-added services. The order position is quite healthy and customer forecasts are optimistic. Company hopes to provide steady growth guidance for next quarter as well as backed by good domestic manufacturing demand. On margins front, we are confident of maintaining the trend in near future, backed by increasing the product mix towards the value add. Expansion program is on due course, and we will see additional capacity going on stream in batches starting from second half of 2022-23. Now I request Mr. Mahesh Narvekar to give the financial highlights. Yes, Mahesh.
Thank you, sir. On a consolidated basis in Q1 ending September 2022, the operating income was 615 crore, which was approximately 9% growth over September 2021 quarter. Operating EBITDA reported was 90.02 crore against rupees 83.13 crore in same period, registering a growth of 8%. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 14.63% for September 2022. Net profit after tax grew approximately 9% year-on-year basis at 67.43 crore. PAT margins reported was 10.96%. As for 6 months ending September 2022, consolidated operating income was at 1,168 crore. Operating EBITDA reported was rupees 177.59 crore, which was an increase of about 10.38% on a year-on-year basis. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 15.2% as against 14.4% on year-on-year basis. Net profit after tax reported was 132.01 crore, which was an increase of around 10% on a year-on-year basis, while PAT margins was reported at 11.3%. With this, we can now open the floor to question and answer session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Participants who wish to ask a question may kindly press star one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sudhir Peda from Right Time Consultancy. Kindly proceed.
Yeah, good morning, sir, and hearty congratulations on good sets of numbers given the volatile situation, sir.
Thank you so much.
Sir, my questions are what is the volume growth we have seen in this quarter vis-a-vis last quarter and last year this quarter?
Yeah, thank you so much for your question. In this quarter, we had total quantity volumes of 63,808 metric tons on consolidated basis. Compared to 57,220 in the last quarter, so almost a 12% growth in the on quarter to quarter basis.
Mm-hmm. And going forward, since our new capacities are coming into stream, I believe it is 30,000 per annum, right? What kind of volume growth we are anticipating in the second half?
We anticipate about 15-20% growth going forward.
Compared to first half?
Yes.
Okay. And just wanted to know from where, which segment that growth will come. Is it a drilling specialty oil or rubber side or ink side, if you can quantify?
Yeah, so we are seeing the major growth pattern in the segments, the ink and coating industry, in the rubber industry, and in the pharmaceutical and cosmetic segment.
Mm-hmm. And sir, my last question would be like if you margin is slight bit of down compared to the Q1 in the Q2. So what kind of margin we are expecting given the good volume growth we will see in the second half? So we will, can we expect some margin improvement going forward in the second half?
As I gave in my opening speech, the environment is quite challenging. We also saw a lot of volatility in the oil prices, and there are definitely global uncertainties and recessionary pressures. But even with these factors, we have a steady margin in our current quarter. Q2, and going forward in the current and forward looking, we are expecting to maintain our margins.
So can you quantify the band where we can expect the, because the new capacity I believe will be more towards the specialized product?
Yes. Yeah, so we are expecting in the EBITDA margins to remain in the levels between 12-15%.
Okay, great. Thank you, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Kumar, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Hello. Good morning. So my question is, due to crude volatility and a supply chain constraint, what is your view for going forward with respect to the sales growth and margin?
Yeah, thank you, Rohan, for your question. There is instability in the market, particularly on the export front. The supply chain has also been affected due to geopolitical tensions. We are facing pricing volatility, which has been managed and was successful, and we are successful in passing it on to our clients. Going forward, we maintain inline performance with cautious optimism, as domestic markets have shown good resilience and the demand has been encouraging. India has been far better placed compared to the other markets.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mulesh Savla from Science Savla LLP. Kindly proceed.
Thanks for taking my question. Mr. Rayani, heartiest congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, you said our expansion is on track and probably the production levels will keep on increasing in patches. So how is the demand scenario looking like? And suppose now we the world returns to the normal circumstances, maybe the war is ended and inflation levels are under control, then in that case, how will be the demand in domestic market as well as export market? How will be the margins, whether export market will have better margins or domestic will have better margins?
Thank you for your question. Of course, it involves a lot of anticipation about what goes forward. But looking at the current scenario, we feel that there are definitely a lot of uncertainties.
Mm-hmm.
India is one of the most resilient markets and a bright spot compared to any other global market. So we have seen in the second quarter good demand from our domestic customers and the demand from the local industries.
Good.
Compared to the export market.
Mm-hmm.
Considering things become normal, which, you know, there are a lot of ifs and buts. But going forward, we anticipate in this turbulent scenario, in the Indian market to be performing far exceedingly well compared to the overseas market.
And right.
So reflected in our current performance, when we have got a good set of numbers, a good demand forecast from our customers. Typically, we expect higher margins from our export business
compared
to the domestic. But in this current scenario, we are currently more optimistic on the domestic market compared to the global market.
Okay. That's helpful, sir. And given the circumstances, you said that in H2, probably our volume growth can be about 15 to 20%. So, sir, can we expect the similar run rates for FY24 and 25 also?
Definitely. We hope and we look forward to continue the good work with similar and better performance.
That's great. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you very much for your question, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan, an individual investor. Can you proceed?
Yeah. Hi, good morning, sir, and thank you for giving the opportunity for asking questions, and congratulations for good set of numbers. Sir, my question is regarding the debt, whether that debt has been repaid in total, and if not, what is the view of management going forward on this?
Yes, thank you for your question. The company has paid up its short-term working capital borrowings of 29.81 crores, and currently our short-term debt is almost negligible. The uncertainties in the global markets have taken the international financing and incidental charges to exorbitant levels due to the continuous increase in the interest rates by the US Fed to tame the inflation. And anticipating these high costs, the company has, as you mentioned, repaid the short-term working capital borrowings of 29.81 crores, resulting in considerable savings in interest costs and ensuring better working capital management.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Actually, this will help company to reduce the interest and it will add to the bottom line. So, thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Solanki from Equitree. Can you proceed?
Hi, good morning team. I have a couple of questions. First one is on drilling fluid. Has the commercial supply started? I remember we were on the testing phase. We had given samples and has the commercial supply started?
Yeah, Mr. Solanki. So, as you know, the drilling fluids is one of the new products which we have introduced in the past few years with all our approvals to the major service providers.
the last 2 years had been due to the COVID lockdowns, things have not moved much on that front. But yes, we are commercially offering and supplying our range of products to international service providers on a regular basis.
Okay, so what percentage of our total revenue would be billing stage right now?
Right now, it is not a major part of the total revenues, but going forward, we, as things open up, there is more stability. We see that it will be, we are very optimistic to be a considerable part of our revenues going forward.
Okay, got it, sir. Sir, any new products you are looking to launch in the value-added segment as you try to increase your mix, value-added mix?
Yes, as Mr. Solanki, you know that the direction of the management is to get into more value-added space. We are continuously increasing our range of products in this space. We have some new products in the pipeline going forward, which we will introduce. And in our current setup and the segment which we are servicing, also we are continuously changing our product qualities to meet international compliance. So there is a lot of R&D work going on as we speak and as we go forward, and the direction is to increase further the value-added part of our business to about 75%.
Okay. Sir, on the export front, I wanted some clarity. We largely don't supply to US and Europe, where it is the largest. Same is, we are mostly in Africa, Southeast Asia. So,
yes.
Still we are facing export issues because of the demand challenges, or what are the problems in the export side? Can you
write that? So, currently we have a presence in close to about 75 countries world over, major concentration on African subcontinent and Southeast and South American countries, as well as in the Asia Pacific. But what we have seen recently, due to the inflationary pressures and the recessionary concerns, are world over in every country which we are dealing. So we have seen definitely a slowdown in demand in the export market because of these current uncertainties, which we feel going forward, once things are normalized, it will get better with time.
Okay. Sir, last question. Sir, in the last part of the call, you revised the EBITDA margin guidance to 13-16% range.
Yes.
But today you said the range would be 12-15%. So, why that change?
We are keeping up with our guidance of EBITDA margins about 15% going forward. And as we go forward with the product mix more in the value-added segment, we will see an upside on the EBITDA margin going forward.
Okay, so should we consider 12-15% as a normal range?
That would be same guidance.
Okay, got it. That was it, sir. Thank you.
Sure,
thank you. The next question is from the line of Santosh, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, my name is Santosh. I'm calling from Chennai. Sir, expansion of the company is in progress. Just wanted to know how much of the quantity will be added in this year.
Thank you, Santosh, for your question. Yes, the expansion is in progress, and most probably we will be adding 30,000 metric tons in the current and the next quarter. The expanded capacity will commercialize in 2 to 3 months thereof.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Kumar from SK Investments. Can we proceed?
Good morning. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So before I start up with my questions, I wanted to take two clarification for the question that you have answered to the previous participant. One is, you said 20% volume growth in H2. Is it compared to H1 of this current year or H2 of last year, sir?
Compared to the last year.
Last year. Okay, fair enough. And second is, the export margins are relatively better than the domestic sales?
This quarter, in the quarter two, we did an export sales of about 142 crores compared to 130 crores in the previous quarter, approximately a 12% increase. But the total export is about 30% of the total revenue, which we would see is compared to the previous year slightly down. But going forward, we are expecting things will pick up.
Sir, I was asking about the margins, not on the sales volume.
The margins, yes. Definitely the margins, we get a better margins in the export compared to the domestic.
Okay, fair enough. Sir, I'll start with my questions. Now, you have mentioned that we export to 75 countries and, so many, you have said, African, Southeast Asian and all that. So what I want to know is, see, first of all, we have wide range of products like white oils, petroleum, jelly, all that. So first thing I want to know is, among these 8 or 9 categories of products that we have, which are all considered as the specialty oils, and which are these particular segment that we export, and what are our USPs? See, you will be competing with the international players there. And many of them may be MNC. See, unless our quality, the price, are not better, it will be very difficult to get the business. So, if you could throw some information on this, sir.
Right. So, majorly our specialty segments would be in the ink and coating industry. In the rubber industry.
Okay.
In the textile lubricants.
Okay.
And also our pharmaceutical oil that we supply to the pharmaceutical industry. Out of this, we are majorly exporting goods catering segments of cosmetics and pharmaceutical industries in the overseas market, the rubber industry, and also the textile. So more or less, all segments, the products catering to all segments, we will export. Our USP, I would say, majorly if you see in the local markets, in the domestic front, we are giving an import substitute to most of our customers who are otherwise importing these oils from overseas players. And a lot of these multinational companies who are now increasing their demand forecasts in the last few years and going forward, they always prefer a just-in-time delivery, so we are approved vendors for them, servicing them over decades, and also giving them just-in-time delivery and import substitute at comparable prices. So this helps us to gain further of their business, especially in the local markets.
Sir, when you say all these different oils, ink and coating, rubber and all, even though they may be falling under lubricants category, these are not the regular lubricants that we see, the PSUs or the other big names like Shell, Castrol make. Are these all different than what these companies make?
Yeah, so we are not in the automotive segment or the B2C segment. We are majorly in the processed oils, white oils, petroleum jelly, and other petroleum specialty products. So, the competition is not from the automotive segment, but majorly from the processed oil manufacturers and white oil manufacturers.
So, for us, the big brand companies are not our competitors in this segment?
No, because they are more in the automotive side.
Automotive segment.
Yeah.
Okay. So, now you said that we get higher margin relatively compared to the other regular oils for these premium oils, you said, ink and coating and rubber. Yes. So that means naturally we charge premium for this product. Yes. So the question is, so is the competition is less for these products?
Yes, because as you go into more value-added space, the competition decreases because, again, there are entry barriers. Major competition is from the international players. As you go more in the value-added, the margins improve, and also the competition is comparatively less as in the conventional side.
Okay. Sir, if it is okay with you, would you mind sharing some of these international competitors?
Those would be trade secret. I think we won't be able to share those.
Okay. Fair enough. That is okay. No problem. Sir, my next question is, for all these exports, who bears the freight cost? And what is the modality of, you know, passing on either the decrease or increase in these costs to the customers?
Correct. So, the freight cost is payable by us. So, we normally give a delivered price to the destination country.
Okay.
And also the freight on actual basis are charged to the customer.
Oh. So, that means whatever increase is there, let's say within a month or so, even 15 days also, you immediately pass it on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, my next question is
it possible? Mr. Kumar, sorry to interrupt, sir. I request you to kindly get back in the question queue for further questions. Yeah. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Kumar, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
My question is, in the present scenario, has the company added any new markets in exports? And what are the challenges it's facing on exports?
Yeah. Thank you, Kumar, for your question. Due to the uncertainty in the global markets and the inflationary trend prevailing, the export sales has been a bit slower compared to the last to the previous year. There has been a continuous endeavor on our part to explore new markets to enhance our reach. We are quite optimistic on export front in the coming quarters.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sohail, an individual investor. Can you proceed?
Good morning, sir. This is Sohail from Mumbai. Yeah, see, I would like to ask some questions. In this period of crude volatility, is the company facing any challenges or anticipate any in future with regard to the base oil procurement?
Thank you for your question. We have been provided with steady flow of our raw materials, the base oil requirements, due to established contracts with the suppliers, and we are not facing any challenges on procurement.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deep Gandhi from Astute Investments. Can you proceed?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Sir, my first question is, you gave the volume data for Q2 of FY23. So, can you also give the breakup of volume for the export and domestic market for this quarter?
Yeah. So, the export is about 30% compared to the domestic sales, about 70% of this total volume.
Okay, and this is volume-wise, right?
Yes.
Sure. And sir, if you can, you know, also give a separate volume number for your value-added products.
So, it's about 65% of the total sales.
Okay, and what will be the, in terms of volume, the number if you can share?
So, I will have to, so it's about 65%, almost about 40,000 tons.
Okay, this was for Q2, right? Q2 of FY23.
Yes.
And what will be the same number for the first half?
In the first half, it was about, close to about 38,000 tons.
So you mentioned 40,000 was for Q2 and first half as 38,000. So numbers are not matching.
There is a gradual increase in the value-added segment. So currently we are doing about 65% of the total sales in the value-add space.
I understand, sir, but so for this quarter, you mentioned the volume of value-added products is 40,000, and then you mentioned that the first half, which is the sum of Q1 and Q2.
The preceding quarter, the Q1.
Okay. I was actually asking for this number for the first half of FY 2023.
For the first half, so it would be about close to about 78,000 to 80,000 tons.
Okay, sir. Sure. Sir, my second question is, so I was just looking at your volume data from 2018. So you had done a total volume in FY 2018 of almost 260,000 tons, which is
Yes.
quite similar to what you have, I think, also done in FY 2022. So my question is, so since last 4-5 years, you have actually not seen much volume growth, and so what is the reason behind this?
See, as you know, the last few years, we are going through a lot of ups and downs in terms of stability and the volatility that we are experiencing. Though we have been continuously being able to keep up the performance in line, if you see in this quarter compared to the previous quarter, we had about a 12% growth in the volumes. So we will definitely, going forward, try to be in line in our performance.
Okay. But sir, actually, this number was also reducing since FY 2018. You had done almost 260,000 tons. So even before COVID, this number had reduced to almost, say, 180,000 tons in FY 2020, and similarly, almost 195,000 tons in FY 2019. So even before COVID, actually, was there any specific reason why our volumes were decreasing?
See, there has been a lot of challenges, as you must be aware. And in terms of the volatility, because whenever there are such unstable times, we see that the customers have become more cautious in their uptake of the product. So, but still, as I told you, we are continuously adding new customers, outreaching into new markets, and holding ground because things have not been easy in the last 2 years, but we are still trying our best to keep the performance in line. So once things are more stable, definitely we expect further demand in all our existing segments.
Okay, sir. And sir, in the past calls, you have been mentioning that you feel the revenues will grow at 15%-20% in next few years. So if you can break up, what will be the volume growth out of this total 15%-20% growth?
So it will be similar growth, about 15% in volume and in value.
Okay. Sir, my next question is, so you mentioned that your USP as compared to other competitors globally is that you are providing a import substitute product. So is the pricing of your product similar to the global competitors, or you are able to charge a lower price to your customers?
We are competitive compared to the overseas players. So we give them an import substitute at a much more competitive price.
Can you quantify the difference, sir? On an average, it will be very helpful.
There are many products because it is very difficult to quantify because we are in about 80 products that we are. So generally, a value-added product gives us a margin of about 15% to 18% compared to 10% to 12% in the conventional. So it depends on the range in the segment, in the product that we are supplying, but this is a general guideline.
Sure, sir. And sir, it will be also helpful.
I'm sorry to.
Yeah, it's a follow-up, and then I'll join back with you. So, sir, can you also share some names of the global competitors who would be competing in the similar product as yours? So it will be helpful to us in understanding the competitors also in your market.
I have a question to the previous participant. It won't be possible to disclose names.
Okay, sir. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants are requested to kindly restrict your questions to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Soumen Chatterjee from JRK Stockbroking. Kindly proceed.
For the opportunity, well, if we can recall from the last con call, you mentioned that there is slight means orders uptake was means customers were deferring their orders, right? that was the reason some dip in the sales from the UAE unit, right? Things remain the same or it has changed? Because a lot of vehicle companies have indicated that the customers are actually deferring their offtake orders, actually due to multiple reasons, maybe due to freight rates are coming down. So is this, we are facing same similar kind of situation like what we faced in the last quarter?
Yeah, so as I mentioned in our previous earnings call, you know, we hope that there would be more stability, but we are seeing still a lot of unstable scenario on all fronts. So customers are still very cautious and, you know, they are taking need to order basis. So a part of their requirements, they are definitely deferring ahead. So we see that going forward, once there is more stability, you know, there would be an increased demand from these customers.
Sir, they are postponing the orders because of demand slowdown, any sort of demand slowdown scenario or any other reason, like for example, freight rates are coming down or something like that. If they want to take the advantage of that, but you are saying that we are only paying the freight rates, right?
Yeah. So majorly, as I say, as I'm saying on this for the domestic customers and all, the freights are quite stable. But majorly, we see that because of the uncertainties and the fluctuating markets, both in the oil and in the forex, there is a more cautious approach from the customers because of the volatility and the unstable geopolitical situations.
Okay, and sir, can you guide us what is our share of export business coming from Europe?
So we Europe is not one of our major markets for the exports. We are mostly concentrated in other regions because there are a lot of domestic producers also in these regions who cater the domestic markets.
Okay, so that will help.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. A. Narayanan from Capricorn Research. Please proceed.
Mr. Rayani, the receivables plus inventories are about 930 crores compared to half year revenues of 1150 crores. This is almost 5 months tie up. Do we consider this as a pattern or would there be any improvement?
Yeah, I will ask our CFO to answer this question. He is online. It's a Pramod, to you.
So we will see the improvement in the second half of the 2023 financial year.
Pramod, what would be the normalized
normally we have 3 month inventory,
90 days,
and 2 months later.
So that would still make 50 days, on and 50 days.
Yeah, on and average 60 days later.
So 90 plus 60 is what we consider for our workings?
3 month inventory and 2 month later, 5 months.
Okay. Dr. Rayani again, in the past we had given intercorporate deposits to promoter companies in the construction business. Have all these been recovered from related parties?
Sir, we have not given any intercorporate deposits. We have provided bank guarantee to our subsidiary company.
Okay. Earlier, Rayani report had. Trying to relate a party transaction. Now you don't have any.
No.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Suresh Kumar from SK Investments. Can we proceed?
Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, just wanted to know what is our customer concentration, like top 5 and 10 customers contribute to the sales?
Top 10 customers contribute around 18% of
the one is, sir?
The top 10 customers contribute about 18% of the total revenue.
Okay, that is good. Sir, Second is, you had given the CapEx schedule that every year you would add on, I think, some 30,000 of capacity at different plant locations.
Right.
So the first question is, do you, in spite of all these challenges and, you know, whatnot, do you still maintain that you would be adding the capacity every year?
Yes, we still maintain the expansion plan in line.
In line, okay. And it is fair to assume that most of it would be from the internal accruals only?
Yes, we are a totally debt-free company, and all the capex for the expansion would be through internal accruals.
Okay. So my next question is, we have so many plants. So do we run in two shifts or a single shift?
No, we are working on all three shifts in all our facilities.
So we are already running on three shifts?
Yes.
Okay. So my last question is, sir, we had some four new products under the pipeline, like one which was mentioned is for the drilling and oil exploration. Then for the ink and coating industry, some aroma-free distillates and so on.
Yeah.
So I won't ask specifically any of these oils, but in general, if you have to launch any new grade for any particular segment, just wanted to know what is the minimum potential that you look there, then what are the USPs that you want to offer to the customers, some info about the new products in general.
So generally, there are a lot of new products being introduced in our existing segments. So majorly, this is due to the global compliance in terms of the environmental regulations. Most of the countries have, compliances which you need to follow. And that's why we have to continuously change our product, meeting those requirements. And this is generally coming in from the customers. And the period is anywhere between, about 1 to 2 years to get any new product introduced commercially in our portfolio.
So this is basically the existing product. To meet the global compliance, you would be either doing some, whatever the additional processing or something to meet that requirement, correct?
Yeah, so it is majorly from the existing segments.
So, for example, like in the case of the drilling and oil exploration, I think we did not had any, oils earlier. Now you have come up with some biodiesel.
Yeah.
Please go ahead, go ahead.
I'm hearing to your question.
I know what I wanted to say, let's say for a biodegradable oils for drilling and oil exploration, just to give us an idea, how was is the potential for this segment, what are the USPs you are offering? I think because this is a new segment for us.
Yeah. So, this is a fairly large segment, and we expect about 3 to 4% revenues from this segment going forward.
Sir, when you say very large, means is it in terms of thousands of crores or something like that?
If you see globally, yes, it's a very huge segment.
Okay.
And so we are slowly penetrating that, and now we are successfully and commercially supplying our range of products to international service providers. So
okay.
We see good potential going forward.
And what is this? We are competing most of these oils, with the MNCs.
Yes.
So, other than the just-in-time and that you said, what is the other benefits you would be offering to the customers?
Yeah, so it is mostly on the pricing, competitively priced, meeting all the requirements, and with the just-in-time deliveries.
Okay, so these are basically on the pricing, we would be better compared to our competitors.
Yes, one of the parts, yeah.
One of the part. Okay. So similarly, you were to introduce some oil for plasticide industry also?
So we have actually a range of products which are still in the pipeline, which are into the new segments.
Okay.
So once we are commercially fit to introduce them, we will definitely announce about it. But there are a lot of new products which are in pipeline.
So that means whatever the new capacities you are coming up, these are all for these new type of oils which you are developing.
So it is mostly in the value-added space.
Value-added space.
And
okay.
Then when each product is introduced, we will be increasing the capacity for those products.
Okay. Thank you very much for your answer, sir, and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Harshal Solanki from Equitree. Kindly proceed.
Sir, I had a question on the per unit numbers. So, in Q2, we have done EBITDA per unit of 14,500. So, do you think this number is sustainable or this may reduce going forward?
It is sustainable going forward. With the change in the mix of our product portfolios, it is sustainable.
Okay. So, in the FY22 whole year, it was around 11,300. So, sir, what has changed materially? So, there is a lot, big jump in the per unit number. So, what has changed in the 6 months?
Yeah, so as I said, we are continuously, the direction of the management is more onto value-added segments, which definitely help us to, contribute a higher EBITDA margins.
But sir, the value-added mix is in the similar range, right?
It is progressively increasing year on year.
Okay, but as when compared to March 22, it has not materially changed, right? But my EBITDA per unit has materially changed. So, what is the reason behind that?
Always there are a combination of factors, But in general, I would say the direction is more to introduce these new products, which are more value-added. So, that's the idea of the management going forward.
Okay. So, secondly, hypothetically, suppose the crude falls down, do we see our EBITDA per unit falling from this level, or we would be indifferent at the per unit level?
So, we have a pass-on mechanism with our customers with a monthly pricing, and any ups and downs or changes in the prices are passed on. So, we don't see any risk to the margins, but we do feel that lower crude oil prices is more favorable with the customers, because with the inflation in check, the demand we see is much better, and it's so we always would hope and feel that a reasonably lower crude oil prices is always favorable for the business.
Yes, sir, I agree that volumes would increase, but this 14,500 number may come down if my crude falls. Is that understanding?
We normally do in the percentage, so we will have the EBITDA margins in percentage intact. But what our main concerns are that the customers should also have increasing demand. So we always see that a lower oil price will generate more demand for our products.
Okay, sir. Sir, just one last point. Sir, EBITDA margins would fluctuate with my realization, right? So that wouldn't be the best way to look at it. And we should ideally look at it at a per unit level.
Generally, we work on the EBITDA margins on percentage basis.
Okay. No issues, sir. But yeah, that was it.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Anshul Mittal from Care PMS. Kindly proceed.
Hello. Yes, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yes, sir. Sir, actually, I wanted to ask the breakup of the industry-wise revenue as well, that which industries are contributing the most, or which product segment is contributing the most for us?
So, we are into about 5 or 6 segments. But if you can send an email, I can send you more details on the breakup.
Okay. And sir, will I be getting the exact difference between the margins for export and domestic market? So, like you give the breakup for 17 for specialty and 15 to 17 for specialty and lower for commodity.
Yes.
So, can you give it for export as well?
So, generally, the export, it depends upon which product. So, if it is a specialty product or a conventional product. But if you see comparatively global, in the export market, we do get a bit of higher margins compared to the same product in the local market comparatively. But again, it depends on if it's a specialty product or it's a more conventional product. It all depends.
So do we have any sort of a breakup in terms of how much do exports do we do for specialty or commodity?
So if it's a conventional product, as I already answered to the previous participant, it's about 10 to 12%. So depending which region and where we are selling, so it's between 10 to 12%, and about 15 to 17% for the specialty product.
Okay, and sir, I must have missed also that. Can you please tell me the capex plan, long term capex plan for us that we are planning to do 30,000 metric ton every year or for next 2 to 3 years?
30,000 tons for the next 3 years is the plan.
Okay, and for a capex of?
It's about 100 crores for these for this expansion.
And mainly domestic market.
Also our UAE subsidiary unit in UAE.
Okay, sir. That's it from my end. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Utsav Anand, an individual investor. Kindly proceed.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, good morning, sir. How are you?
Fine.
Sir, I want to ask regarding the expansion plan for the UAE plant, sir. Can you update on that?
No, I can't hear you a question. Can you repeat?
I just wanted to inquire about the expansion plan for the UAE plant. That's so expanding capacity by 50% in the UAE plant also, right?
Yes, that's right.
So, like, any update, like, by when that will be commercializing?
So, in this year, we have some plans for expansions in the UAE plant, and also in the coming years, in the next 2 years.
So, like, will you be adding any capacity this year, or no, already from next year onwards?
So it will be from the next year onwards.
Next year from onwards. Okay. And the for the capacity that you are expanding domestically in India, right? So that will be available from this from the Q3 as well, or from the Q4 as well?
In this in the Q3 and Q4.
Okay, so like the production that we are starting in Q3, can we see the benefit in Q4 or no?
Yes, so we've already we will see some commercialization of this additional capacity in this quarter and in the quarter Q3 and also Q4.
Okay, so the conversation is there in Q3 as well and Q4 both as well.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Hussain Rayani for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone. I would like to thank everyone who has participated in this call. For any further queries or information, please get in touch with our investor relations team and we will be very happy to answer them. Thank you very much once again.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.